Hi, I'm Debbie and I'm a Coles Favourita.
Hello, Debbie.
Here to share my story so far with you all. I came into the rooms probably actually, it is the first time, but I did look at OA before, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I looked online and I read a bit about it and I knew that I'd been everywhere else. But I took the word God as an excuse to run for the hills. It scared me. I thought they were going to be sandal-wearing, tambourine-bashing people, and it frightened me, to be honest. And obviously now I know I wasn't ready. So I went away for 3 or 4 years, and I regret that now. But time to move on. So I came back into the... I first came into the room at the end of March of... last year, actually, now, isn't it? 2017. And I've been in the programme now for just over 8 months. It'll be 9 months, the middle of January. And I went to 6 meetings as suggested, and I just thought, oh my God, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I first was overweight. I think my problems began when I was probably quite young, about 8. Yeah, probably about 8. I think I had a really happy childhood, actually. No issues like that. My parents argued a lot, and our house was quite volatile. Emotionally volatile, never violence, physical violence, but a lot of emotional shouting, screaming, plate throwing and stuff like that. Only at each other, never at my brother and I. But my mum lost her mum when she was 7. And I think, looking back, I think she was evacuated as well when she was 12. She was the youngest of 5 and food was very scarce. They came from a very poor family and food was scarce. And she told me stories of when the dinner would be served and she would literally sit as a 6-year-old with her dinner around, her arms around her dinner, shoveling it in before her brothers stole it from her. Then she was evacuated to Devon when she was about 10, I think, 11, 10 or 11. And the skinny little street rat. My mum was a skinny little string bean. And this woman only had sons, didn't want a girl. But when she found out my mum was didn't have a mother, she wanted to be my mum's mother. And she fed her and fed her. And my mum put on nearly 5 stone, she told me, in about 2 years of being in Devon. And I feel probably that was my mum's way of showing love to me. Because she didn't have a mother of her own, care and love in my family, one of the big ways of showing it was food. And comfort was food. Everything around the dinner table was food. Calm. My mum was a good cook, a good home cook, and there was plenty of it. Plenty or too much of it. By the time I was 8, I was a little barrel, a little round barrel, and I was teased at school, and it wasn't fun. I hated PE. I hated having to strip off to get my PE kit on, and those big navy blue pants. I cried a lot. I used to cry a lot about my weight. I hated myself, and that went on for a long time. Actually, a long time, all through my childhood. Clothes didn't fit me, and I hated the way I looked. I had skinny friends. I just wanted to be slim all my life. I wanted to be slim. Fat teenager. Dieting started when I was, I think, about 12. My mum took me to the doctor, sent me to Weight Watchers, had to keep a food diary, and everything became more about the food. I wrote down everything I ate. We took it in with us to the next week to the weigh-in. You know, my mum had given me, I don't know, sausages. Oh, my mum didn't know anything about nutrition, and I certainly didn't at that age. Can't eat this, can't eat that. And it was then just a succession of foods I couldn't eat and wasn't allowed to eat. And I remember sitting in my room, being really hungry, having had lots of vegetables for my dinner and not much else. And I probably think I was about that age when I started to steal food, when I would go down in the middle of the night, steal from the cupboards, stuff the empty wrappers with kitchen towel so it didn't look like an empty wrapper. Obviously my mum would find it and there'd be a row and I'd be in trouble, but it was never addressed. The issue was never addressed as to why I was stealing food or why I was constantly hungry. And I became an overweight teenager, an unhappy overweight teenager. Very unhappy overweight teenager. Dieting constantly. And then I got quite a good job in the city, and I loved my job, and I did lose a little bit of weight because I actually worked on the stock market floor, so I was on my feet all day. I used to walk about 8 miles a day, they reckon. and it was a very full-on job. But the food was still a big thing for me. And then I bought my own home. I lived by myself. I could eat what I wanted. Thank you. I could eat what I wanted, and I did. And I used to jump in the car and drive to various fast food places and buy the family size bucket and eat it all and loathe myself. Absolutely loathe myself. I had a really good job. I had a car. I had a lovely family and friends. And I absolutely loathed myself. And I dieted and I got slim and I overate and I got fat. My life was just this mad merry-go-round. And the thing that really sticks out for me is just thinking about food, constantly thinking about food. The minute I go out of bed, I'm on a diet today, I will not eat this, 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 this. And then those things, whole time in my head, going round and round and round and round and round, can't have this. Get literally crawled to lunchtime and then eat my apple or whatever I was allowed that day, or everything in sight if I wasn't restricting. Just 20, 30 years of absolute madness, unhappiness, did not make me a very nice person to be around. Managed to find a lovely man to marry me, mad fool. But now when I look back at my life with my children and my husband before I came to OA, I think he's a bloody saint for putting up for me, because I was a bitch, actually. I was a sugar-fueled bitch. I would hate it when they walked in the door because I was just about to take something out of the cupboard. I thought, shit, I don't want them to come home from school because I'm just about to eat something. Go to your room, go and do your homework, get out of my sight so I can eat. Hear my husband's key in the door. I'd be running to the bathroom with a packet of penguins, whatever it was, to eat them while, you know, eating out the bin. You name it. I've done it. Even squirted fairy liquid on it because that's supposed to work. No, it doesn't, because you can rinse that off. I've tried it. Not nice, actually. Not a nice... I wasn't even living my life, actually. I was just existing. And when I look around, I have a beautiful home, gorgeous children, a fabulous husband, really supportive family, lovely friends. And I wasn't living it. I was existing from one plate of food, pile of food, bag of food, trip to the supermarket. And that was all I was thinking about. I wasn't bothered about anybody else's feelings. I thought I was. But actually, looking back, pretty horrific. Pretty horrific. Not a nice person. Not a nice place to be. And then another diet. I did lose weight. I lost a lot of weight on a meal replacement thing probably about 13 years ago. The answer. Every diet was the answer, obviously. And I'd start fresh with all the books and everything that you needed to start with, cleared out the cupboards, threw everybody's food, threw away the kids' nice stuff because I didn't want to eat that. And 2 days later, I was back at the supermarket eating it, eating all their Easter eggs, running to the supermarket to replace them, eating all their Christmas chocolate, running to the supermarket to replace it. Just mad merry-go-round of misery. And I lost a lot of weight on this meal replacement, and I stuck to it religiously for 3 months, and I lost about 4.5 stone, and I was thin, properly thin, and I wasn't happy. And that was such an enormous shock to me. I could wear lovely clothes, I got so many compliments. I felt great on the outside, and I couldn't understand it. There was still something that I just didn't feel right, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And funny enough, my husband used to say to me a lot, a phrase he used a lot was, you've got to let it go, Deb, you've got to let it go, just let it go, stop worrying about food, let it go. And I went, I want to let it go, but I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do it. And then when I came here, purely to be thin again, trust me, I didn't really, all that other stuff, God and all that, what's the art, how do you do it, how do I get slim? That's what I thought when I came into the rooms, to be quite truthful. How do I get slim? And I looked around the room and I thought, there's slim people here, this must work. So I sat and listened to the 6 meetings and I thought, actually, maybe there is something in it. But still, primarily, it was about being thin. And a couple of weeks in, I don't know, I was just sitting at home and I was coming to this meeting, actually, and I thought I was really desperate for a sponsor. Something just out of the blue. I'd sat in on the 6 meetings and I thought, this is it. This is it. There wasn't an available sponsor. And I asked, I was very tearful. I was a wreck. Thank you. I was a wreck. And I asked someone, she said, you look a bit upset. Took me outside, had a chat. And I said, I need a sponsor. And she said, why don't you just ask? And I said, but people are full. And she said, you need to ask. So I did ask. And they said, yes, even though they were full and didn't have space. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I can tell you that for nothing. And that was the 15th of April last year. And she said, we'll start tomorrow. I don't work with people that are in the food. And I'm like, what do you mean? How am I going to fit in the Last Supper? How am I going to, it's 8:30 at night. How am I going to, my husband's home, my kids are home. I can't sneak out and eat everything in sight before tomorrow evening. So I didn't have that Last Supper. And I've been abstinent by the grace of God and my sponsor and everyone's support. From that day to this, and I hopefully will be tonight as well. And I work the steps. I'm in the middle of step 8 at the moment, and I panicked about the steps. Initially, I panicked. I can't do that. I can't do this. How that? I can't. And I've learned to keep it in the day, not look at step 3, 4, 5, whatever's the next one away. Stay in the step I'm in. Concentrate on that. Read my literature. Pray to my higher power, and I have built a really good relationship with the higher power. That I, for me, it's the universe, the power of nature. It's not God per se. It's my God of my understanding, which works really well for me. I've released about, I haven't weighed myself till the middle of this month, but so far, just under 2 stone, 9 months, 8.5 months. Slowish, but some months there's been no weight loss. I've managed never to put anything on, but just chipping away and living my life. And I actually feel that I'm living my life. I can be normal with people. I can be normal around food. Bloody hell, who would ever, this Christmas, that white noise is gone. And when you read that bit about the compulsion, the mental, the compulsion, it will be lifted. I didn't really believe that, to be truthful. I didn't really believe it. I thought it's never going to be me, because I always fail at anything like that. But it's true. I promise you it's true. For me, that compulsion today has gone. And yeah, there are bad days. It's not easy. And now today, every day, I do the daily suggestions that my sponsor's given me. I read my readings. I pray. I ask for guidance, for help. I ask to be willing to do these things. I reach out to other people, which I hated doing at first, making phone calls. Now I bloody love ringing people up, having a good old gas about where we are and what we're doing. And I've made some amazing, amazing friends. And I do feel at home here. Now I'm getting emotional. It's been really life-changing. In 8.5 short months. And I know I'm not there yet, I've still got a long way to go. I love coming to these meetings. I love the people in the rooms. I love the support, the fellowship. The tissues, thank you. The fact that I'm not a bitch as much to my family anymore, I hope. They say they've noticed the difference, and I haven't been fishing for compliments, they say they've noticed the difference. I'm just a much happier person living my life today. A much happier person. And I'm incredibly grateful. And some days I don't want to do my everything I have to do. And they're all little tiny things. Write a list of gratitude, gratitude list every day, 10 things. Inventory. When people piss me off, I write it down and I say what's upset me on a piece of paper. And that's such a simple thing. And I never can imagine how that clears up my life and clears out my head. It's amazing. So it works if you work it. That is a cliche, but bloody hell, it works if you work it. And I'm so grateful to all of you, to my sponsor, to my higher power. And to these rooms. So I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, David.